Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio Team. Over the next few episodes of Serving Today, we're delving into the archives with a series of talks called Dealing with Disasters. We thought that this would be appropriate in the current climate. We hope these reflections will help us all to make sense of this very unusual period that we're facing. Welcome to Serving Today, the programme for the servants of God. I'm Andrew Cook and it's good to be with you again. The problem of disasters. Dr. John Hall begins looking at this vexing subject. We begin a series that was actually broadcast some years ago, but as we're currently in the midst of a virus pandemic, it seemed worthwhile to have another look at the whole subject of disaster. And to introduce this to us, here's Derek French.
We live in a world where disaster strikes again and again, and those affected stand in great need. And there's the need for relief from the immediate suffering, and then for pastoral care of those involved. Added to this are a multiplicity of questions which people will look to us to answer, not least, why does God allow disasters to happen? With the help of Dr. John Hall in this series, John trained as a medical doctor and then the Lord called him into pastoral work and he's many years of experience behind him from which I'm sure we're going to benefit. John, today you want to answer this question by considering a theology of disaster. So how do you want to begin?
Ideally, it's important to work out the theology of disaster before it strikes, to work out the Bible's teaching on trouble before you fall into it. Disaster affects us all in two major ways. There's the personal way. A child dies, or we have a serious illness. The world goes on, but we struggle. Or we're involved in the disasters of others. These may be day-to-day ones or huge ones like a tsunami or earthquakes. Large disasters bring the world down on our backs. Where is your God? They cry. Our own personal disasters also test us. It's difficult to watch loved ones suffer and die.
So why do disasters happen?
Well, Derek, let's highlight the problem first. The unbeliever says, if your God made everything, controls everything, and is almighty and loving, why is the world in such a mess? Why war? Why tsunamis and earthquakes? Why Holocaust, starvation and terrible diseases? He must have made the mosquito and the malaria parasite. Surely it's God's fault we're in a mess. Recently, Mr. S. sent for me as he was dying, and I left him a gospel booklet, which he read, and on my next visit he said, it's all God's fault. He should have sorted out the mess and the suffering by now.
Yes, well, how do we answer these kinds of questions then?
Some Christians respond by saying, God is loving, but has chosen to give man liberty, and so does not know what a person will choose to do, and so does not control people's choices. And because of that, you get wars and their consequences. But what of the weather or of earthquakes? Well, they claim God has set the system running and has chosen not to tinker with it. But a God this weak and this distant has disadvantages. Why pray if he's not got the power to help you? Why trust him if you can't be sure he has the power to keep his promises?
Okay, that's highlighting the issues further, but you still haven't told us how to answer some of these very searching questions.
Well, in order to answer these questions, we need to look at what the Bible says. After all, this is the book in which God speaks to us. What sort of God is revealed there? The Bible presents God as being in total control of the world he has made. Let's look at some of the verses. Let's start out with Job 38 verse 4, where God asked Job this question, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Then comes a list of God's power over his world, its geography, its weather, its creatures and history.
And how did Job respond to that?
Job, in response, puts his hand over his mouth and says in Job 40 verse 4, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. God goes on to say to Job, do you have an arm like God's? Chapter 40 verse 9. If you do, then be like me, says God, and humble the proud and the wicked. God then points to the powerful creatures he has made and controls and draws the conclusion, "Who has any claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me." That's in Job 41, verse 11. And Job's response is not open theism.
What's open theism? I'm sure that's a new term for many.
Open theism is a limitation of God's power to preserve man's choice and deal with the problem of disaster by saying God isn't really responsible for it. By contrast, Job's response to God is submission. Job says in Job 42 and verse 2, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted." He goes on to say in verse 6, "Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes."
So what is Job actually doing here?
Well, Job in all his troubles acknowledges God's power and sovereign control. And other Bible writers do the same.
Who do you have in mind here, John?
Well, in Psalm 135, 6, the psalmist says, "The Lord does whatever pleases him, in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes the clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. The weather is under his control, but so too is human history," as the psalmist goes on to outline God delivering his people from Egypt.
So the Bible is clear then that God is absolutely in control of all things. It's beyond human comprehension, but it's the plain teaching of the Bible and something which is revealed for our comfort, especially when we don't understand why certain disasters, including viruses, have come into our lives. We have this solid anchor to cling to. The Lord has our times in his hands. Anyway, back to John and Derek as they continue this discussion on disasters.
But John, what about those things which appear to us to occur by chance?
Even seemingly chance events turn out as God wants them to be. For example, in Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 4, where it says, "To a man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord come the reply of the tongue." And then, "The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked, for the day of disaster." And then we must add that the prophets confirm these things. For example, Daniel shows how Nebuchadnezzar is humbled by God and finally acknowledges him. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel 4, 34 and 35. Perhaps you'd like to read this for us, Derek.
"Then I praised the Most High. I honoured and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'"
You see there, God has the power to do as he pleases and is not accountable to anyone. We have no right to call God to account. Nebuchadnezzar was very clear about that. But let's next look at Amos. One day I was talking with a religious leader who was not a Christian, and he started out by saying to me, "My God is greater than your God." I asked what he meant, and he said, "Your God's not in control of evil events." He had picked up from open theism that the God of the Bible was not almighty. And I said to him, "You're mistaken. Look at what the Bible says." And I turn to Amos 3 and verse 6, where he writes, "When disaster has come to a city, has not the Lord caused it?"
But John, I can almost hear someone say, "Yes, but all this is Old Testament teaching." And indeed, some have even gone so far as to teach that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New. Now, I know that's completely wrong. So what about New Testament teaching on this issue?
Let's think about Paul's words, for instance, in his letter to Ephesians. In chapter 1 and verse 11, he declares this, "In him," that's in Christ, "we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him," that's God the Father, "who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will." So we see the Bible says God is in control. God sends disaster. God allowed Satan the space to test Job. So when disaster strikes, we cannot say God has nothing to do with it. We know that in Hebrews it says The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That's in Hebrews 1 and verse 3.
So the Bible is clear in its teaching that God is in control of all things. How then do we deal with the fact of suffering on a massive scale in our world, especially as our God is also merciful and kind?
That is a real problem, but I'm not going to approach the answer from a philosophical point of view, but show you what the biblical material says.
So where do we need to begin?
Firstly, you need an overall framework of the Bible.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you need to understand the whole book. It starts with God creating the world. It then shows why the world has problems. Men fell into sin. God promised a deliverer. Then the promised one, the Lord Jesus, comes and does just as God had said. He lives, he dies, he rises again. He ascends into heaven. And as the Lord Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is poured out. Then you have the letters to the churches, the second coming, and the final sorting out of the whole problem in the new heaven and the new earth, where there is no sin or disaster.
That's quite a survey, isn't it?
It is indeed, and it's worth repeating a little bit of it in more detail. God made the world good. It says, for instance, in Genesis 1:31, God saw all he had made, and it was very good. Yet he created man and woman with free choice, and they chose to disobey on the instigation of Satan. This ruined their relationship with God, with one another, and their environment. And God said he would send a deliverer, and that deliverer came. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise is of a new heaven and a new earth, where there'll be no more sickness, sorrow, and dying. Meantime, the Bible is realistic. All human beings are sinners. They are hostile and opposed to God, and are described by the Bible as dead in trespasses and sins.
And what's the effect of that on the world?
Such human societies produce by their action what it says in Romans 3:12-18. Perhaps you'd like to read that for us, Derek.
All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's pretty devastating stuff, isn't it? And yet so accurate a description of people today, isn't it?
It is, Derek, indeed. I always think that ruin and misery mark their ways as I look at the world in which we live, as we see wars and riots and intercommunal conflict on a vast scale in our world, showing such misery. Yet God promises to such people in such trouble that through the work of Jesus, that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth.
And with that positive note, we must end for today, but we'll return to the issue of disasters next time, so I hope you can join us for our next edition of Serving Today. So, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May the Lord help us all to trust him and serve him with all our hearts. We hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us. The address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk, or you can find us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.